Amen. Would you please be seated? And if you have your Bible or your Bible app, I invite you to pull it out. We are going to be in John chapter 17 today as we continue in our series through the Gospel of John, a look at the life and ministry of Jesus, who was the very revelation of God. This week we turn our attention to Jesus' high priestly prayer, a prayer that some have said is the greatest prayer ever prayed. John 17, we're looking at verses 1 through 26, and it's long, it's a chapter. And so, once again, if you have your Bible, your Bible app, you may want to have that out to follow along. John 17, beginning in verse 1. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you've given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you've given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may know the full measure of my joy within them. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be fully sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you've given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you've given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." Please pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks for this beautiful day and our chance to gather together as a community of faith in worship. We thank you for the bond that you have built between us as brothers and sisters in Christ, and we thank you for your invitation to come into your presence to worship. Lord, all Scripture is valuable, and yet John chapter 17, with the very words of Jesus and his prayer for himself, for the disciples, and for us, these are precious words. In these next few minutes, as we gaze into these words, please give each of us eyes to see just what you want us to see. Give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. And give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and understand to the way we live every day. I pray all of this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Well, this is a pretty amazing portion of Scripture. And it's one of the few times that we actually have the words that Jesus prayed. If you look through the Gospels, you see that Jesus prayed quite a bit. We see him drawing away on a regular basis to commune with his heavenly Father. But very seldom do we actually have the words of the prayer itself. And so we want to pay attention to these words today. And no doubt his disciples were paying close attention as well. Jesus did follow a common pattern in his prayer, that of a departing leader. And if you want a couple other examples of these, Moses prayed a similar prayer in Deuteronomy 32. Aaron prayed a similar prayer in Leviticus 16 as they were each departing the people that they had been chosen to lead. Jesus here is doing the same near the end of his earthly ministry. We can divide his prayer into three sections, and that's the way I'd like us to proceed this morning. The first of the sections finds Jesus praying for himself. That's verses 1 through 5, praying for himself. And yet, he's not praying the way we usually think of prayer. There are no laundry lists of wants, needs, and desires here. Instead, he says, "The hour has come. Glorify your Son." You see, this is the night before the cross. And Jesus knows what tomorrow holds. Verse 4 helps us to see that the hour has come because he has finished his work. He's finished the teaching he was sent to do. He's finished performing the miraculous signs he was sent to do. And he's finished equipping his disciples for the work that lies before them. Let's make sure we understand his prayer request properly. He uses the word glorify. And yet, when he uses that word, he is talking here about the cross, that he will be lifted high upon that cross, and that will be the way in which he is glorified. Now, after the cross, there will be a return to his previous glory, and theologians have pointed out that there is a previous glory that he started with before his incarnation. There is the glory that comes now as his work in his earthly ministry is complete, and he's lifted on the cross, and there will be glory again as he returns into the presence of his heavenly Father. Jesus' prayer for himself also includes a beautiful description of salvation. We see it in verse 3. What is eternal life? According to Jesus, it's that they know you, the Father, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. It sounds so simple, and yet it's so beautiful. But let's be careful not to make it simplistic. This isn't just an intellectual knowledge Jesus is talking about. That phrase, "know you," in Greek is in the present subjunctive case. What that means is it's an ongoing process. Our knowledge of God being something that involves experience, intimacy, relationship, not just head knowledge. The knowledge that Jesus is describing is an ongoing relationship with the living God. And this is that deep, lasting life that John has talked about all the way through his gospel. And so Jesus' prayer begins with a prayer for himself. But then as we move into verses 6 through 19, we see that Jesus prays for his disciples. He speaks in verse 6 of those whom you gave me out of the world. He acknowledges that the disciples belong to the heavenly Father, that God the Father gave these individuals to Jesus for the time of his earthly ministry, entrusted them, all of their faith and all of their gifts and skills to Jesus. Jesus is now entrusting these disciples back to the heavenly Father, and he prays, "Protect them by the power of your name." He specifically says, "Protect them against the evil one." And we'll remember that earlier in this conversation in the upper room, Jesus said, persecution is coming. And so here, he prays specifically for them as they prepare for that persecution. Now we might think, would it just be easier to take the disciples with him? No need for protection then, right? If they all just kind of came along with Jesus at the end of his earthly ministry. But instead, Jesus shows us that he wants his disciples in this world. He specifically says, "My prayer is not that you take them out of this world, but that you would protect them." And in verse 17, Jesus prays that his disciples would be sanctified, specifically sanctified by the truth. And he notes that God's word is truth. Hagiazo is the Greek word for holy, for consecrated, or in this case, for the process of being set apart. These disciples are sent into the world on a mission, but key to that mission is that these disciples remain distinct from the systems and the powers of the world. So Jesus begins by praying for himself. He then prays for his disciples, and maybe the best part comes last in verses 20 to 26, where Jesus prays for all believers. He says, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. This is so good. You realize that's us, right? Jesus, Savior of the world, praying for you and me. That's us. Jesus praying for us to come to faith. You could even put your name in this if you'd like. I pray also for Sarah Smith, who will believe in me through their message. I pray also for Allie Decker, who will believe in me through their message. We are the object of this last section of Jesus's prayer, him praying that we would come to faith. This is a prayer that reaches across 2,000 years to be a blessing in our lives today, and that is powerful. So what's the connection in all of this? What does Jesus mean when he says, through their message? Well, we are believers today because these first disciples were set apart and they did carry out the mission Jesus gave them. That mission, like Jesus' prayer, has carried across 2,000 years to create the church that exists today. The capital C church all around the world, and yes, even this church right here, Fletcher Hills Presbyterian Church, the fruit of the prayer that Jesus offered in this moment. All of this came about through a process the Apostle Paul mentored others in, and he wrote in 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. The original disciples told some, and they told others, and they told others, and 2,000 years later, someone at some point in each of our lives told us about Jesus and what it means to believe in him and what it means to follow after him. We are the fruit of this prayer all of these years later. And what exactly did Jesus pray for us? Well, he prayed that we would be one, and we're still waiting for the full answer to that prayer, aren't we, in the world? Christians figuring out what it means to be one, to be unified in the ways that Jesus prays. And he also prayed that we would be with him. He spoke about this in chapter 14 when he said he was preparing a place for us and he would return to bring us to be where he was. Our unity, and that we will eventually be reunited with his presence. So what does all this mean? If some have said that this is the greatest prayer ever prayed, and we've seen that there's a section where Jesus prays for himself, and we have an example of good prayer there. We see his prayer urgently offered for the disciples and what they're about to face, and we can see that he was praying for us. What does all of this mean? What are we supposed to learn from this high priestly prayer? I think it's up to you to figure it out. I'm serious. I think that this prayer is worthy of our meditative focus as believers, each and every one of us. I believe this prayer has gifts to offer each of us, but those gifts aren't going to simply come in sitting and listening to a sermon or even reading through the text once. The gifts are going to come when we sit with this text, when we soak in the words of this prayer, when we concentrate on all that Jesus was talking about, and we go to God and we ask for the help of the Holy Spirit, what is it that is for me in this prayer? What is it that I need to hear? What is it that I need to receive out of these words offered in prayer by my Savior? And so here's my challenge for you this week. Don't shut your Bibles, go home, and open up again next Sunday. Make a commitment this week to sit with this prayer, these words of Jesus, every single day this week, at least once, at least once. Sit with this, and before you begin to read, ask that God would reveal himself, whatever it is he has for you, out of those words, and then slowly soak in them, read your way through them, and see what God has in store for you. Use the questions in the bulletin to dig a little bit deeper and see if there might be some extra insights that can come from there. And please utilize our small groups to help in this process as well. Sundays, right after worship at La Mesita Park. Wednesdays, right here on campus in the front office at 6 p.m. Thursdays at Ray Belial's house at 7. Utilize one of those groups to also soak in this passage and to listen and hear what God has for you individually. The fruit of Jesus' prayer 2,000 years later. Let's pray together now. Lord Jesus, it is truly remarkable that we can read a portion of Scripture and know for certain that you were praying for us. Did you picture our faces? Did you know our stories already at that point? How we would come to trust in you? How we would come to be sitting in this worship service this morning? We acknowledge the joy that we feel in knowing that you cared enough to pray that we would find you and find a faith in you. And I pray that in addition to that, you would continue to sustain that faith in each of us. Help us to treasure this transcript, these words that we have of your prayer, not just as an example of how we too can pray, but knowing that your prayerful care for your church and for each of us as believers is a part of our daily experience of life. Make us more aware of you. Make us more aware of the ways that you are at work in this world and each of our lives. Meet us in the words of Scripture this week as we meditate on you. I lift all of these prayers to you now, Jesus, in your name. Amen.